Welcome to Sourcing Enterprise AI, a podcast by Upper Edge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. I'm John Belden, Chief Strategy and Research Officer.
And I'm Kylie Chisholm, Upper Edge's Content Marketing Manager. Join us every other week as we explore the impact of artificial intelligence and the critical issues IT decision makers and sourcing professionals will face.
The AI market is just in its infancy with new capabilities, new vendors, and a new competitive landscape and a boatload of risk. In each episode, we'll do a deep dive into a particular AI topic and explore the latest news releases and their potential impact on the market.
Empower your AI decision-making with vendor insights and fact-based sourcing strategies. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.
Hi, John. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great today, Kylie, as always.
That's good to hear. So I want to jump right into today's episode. We have a lot of very important ground to cover, and we're actually joined by a special guest. We've had him on the podcast before to talk about Microsoft's specific AI offering, but now a new contender has entered the playing field on the Salesforce side. And so we are going to talk about Einstein and that offering on the Salesforce side. But with us, we have Adam Mansfield, who is the Microsoft, Salesforce, and ServiceNow practice leader at Upper Edge. So he's really an expert in all things Salesforce. So Adam, thank you for joining us for this conversation.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure to jump on these and talk with the two of you.
Yep. And we got a chance before the meeting to talk about Walking Dead and all things Walking Dead. So yes. We're all caught up. We won't bore the users with that. Why don't we just get into this whole discussion on Salesforce and Einstein Copilot? I mean, Salesforce has had Einstein out there for a while in general. You know, they've said it was kind of their AI piece for a long time now. Now they're coming out with Copilot. Right, which kind of feels like it's a redundancy, if you will, in terms of, well, didn't you have Einstein before? What the heck is Copilot? So maybe we just start with that.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And based on some of the conversations I've already been having with whether it's a CIO or even on the line of business side of things, they kind of have a similar feel as well, right? And this kind of stems to an overarching approach that I think Salesforce has to continue to try to overcome. You know, they can come up with neat names and in interesting characters like it's Disney World, but they really are going to be tested on now more so than ever than the value, right? So when you think Einstein Copilot, the pitch that they're ultimately making is that, yes, it's the conversational AI assistant, right? It ties to their CRM. It delivers trusted responses based on your company's data. That's their pitch. And if you think about, and you've listened to Benioff over the, you know, I'd say even 9 months since last Dreamforce, even, you know, he spends a lot of time talking about they want to be the number one AI, the number one CRM, and the number one data. Well, their whole pitch is, and I'm going to get into this, Einstein Copilot is the kind of gen AI, conversational AI assistant. But what they really want you to do is they really want you to utilize other functionality that they sell, Data Cloud specifically. And the pitch is you need the two of those together to get those trusted responses or prompts that you're getting through the use of the AI or your employees are, right? So that's the key thing here. The other thing is they lean on heavily that it's embedded natively in and across all their applications, right? So that there's that consistent user experience. So they're going to also lean on the larger customer 360, right? So all the products that they have sold to you or hopefully will sell to you, the power of that with the overarching data cloud attached to it, and then the embedded Einstein Copilot will also elevate the value of that Copilot. Here's the thing. A lot of this has been somewhat theoretical, because the public beta, like availability of that to actually start using and tasting, if you will, that wasn't even announced until, I think it was February 27th, late February. So not that long ago. Now, interestingly enough, it was right before their earnings call. If you want to dive a little bit deeper, and I think this is important, you got to think about also the way that they're characterizing Einstein Copilot from a capabilities perspective. So you think about the natural flow. Microsoft Copilot for Microsoft 365. That makes sense. Large organizations, C-suite, they're like, okay, it attaches to our email, our Word. I can see how that would drive productivity. Well, here are those capabilities that Salesforce is calling out. Number one, I mentioned this a minute ago. These prompts are grounded from trusted data in your ecosystem. That's where Data Cloud comes in. They also are going to have what they call out-of-the-box actions, right? So there's going to be a library of out-of-the-box actions that are pre-programmed capabilities, automated responses. There's going to be customization for your business needs, right? So they're talking about tailoring it versus just generic OpenAI, AI, Gen AI. It's tailored for your business. There's going to be a reasoning engine, right, that interprets the intent, right? Again, I'm not going to get into all the specifics there.
Right.
And then the other part to it is they're heavy on use cases. It makes sense. Salespeople, listen, you're salespeople. You want to have customized communications. You want to bring closure at an accelerated rate. Customer service, you want to streamline getting and boosted customer satisfaction, use our solution.
Yeah, and that's super helpful context. And I know we talk all the time about how Salesforce is pushing these new products, and especially in, you know, the AI landscape, I feel like there's always, that's where a lot of our vendors are wanting to really expand their footprint. So it's interesting to think of those use cases. I'm curious how Salesforce customers can get access and how much it is going to cost, you know, if those salespeople are successful.
Yeah, so it's interesting, right? I've been doing this for a long time, and the way you can get the solution often speaks to what they're focused on. So I'll get into that in a minute. So number one, if they're starting with their tried and true longstanding product solutions, right? So Einstein Copilot is currently available for Sales Cloud and Service Cloud. Now they've talked about, we're going to make this available for Commerce and Marketing Cloud later in 2024. I don't know when that's going to be. If I had to guess, it'll be before Dreamforce, which is in September. And if I had to guess, they're going to be heavily promoting it during Dreamforce. Einstein Copilot for Tableau, again, second half of 2024. If I had to guess, that's going to be conveniently right before Dreamforce. They're going to want to funnel people into Dreamforce to go to those booths. In terms of how you get access to Einstein Copilot, they have created, now they did this actually towards the back end of 2023. It didn't really get a lot of publicity. I think it's because they were figuring things out, but they created a most robust edition called Unlimited Plus. Okay, so you have Pro, you have Enterprise, you have Unlimited, and they created Unlimited Plus. They have rebranded that to Einstein One. So there's Einstein One for sales, Einstein One for service. That is a bundle that costs, as a list price, $500 per user per month. Versus if you were to look at kind of the other editions of Sales and Service Cloud, you have Enterprise, which is $165. You have Unlimited Edition, which is $330. So obviously massive uplifts if you were to convert and go to their most robust edition. So let's get into that. By doing this, by pushing customers over to that, these customers would get continuing their sales or their service functionality, but you also get Copilot, Einstein Copilot. You also get Data Cloud. Under the sales edition, you also get team collaboration with Slack. You also get Tableau functionality, which again is important to them. And then on the service side, just replace CRM with service intelligence, digital channels. But again, you're getting Data Cloud there. So the key here is, if you want it, market, you have to move to the most robust and costly edition of Einstein One. And by the way, have no fear, it's going to be really valuable to you under that structure, because again, you're getting Data Cloud, you're getting the UI through Slack as well. There's probably customers out there that are like, that's ridiculous. I just want Einstein Copilot. Well, they do have something for those customers as well, okay? You can add Einstein for Sales as an add-on to your Enterprise or your Unlimited base subscription for Sales or Service Cloud. You can add that on, but here's the thing. It's $75 per user per month. That's the add-on price. Okay, so to think about this, if you're an enterprise customer, and again, I'm using list pricing, that means you're going to be paying $240 per user per month. If you're an Einstein for service customer, again, $240 per user per month. So that's impressive. Unlimited, it's even more expensive. The key here, though, it's very important. They're definitely going to try to get you to use Einstein Copilot, of course, right? They're going to definitely push for the add-on at a minimum. But I can't, and I'm going to talk more about this, I cannot emphasize this enough. You as a customer are going to be hearing not just Einstein Copilot, you're going to be hearing Slack, Data Cloud, Tableau to really make the AI valuable, which is why they're going to push you to that more robust edition.
So, I mean, let's stay on that for a minute, because, you know, there's a lot of things obviously that go into perhaps getting value out of the Salesforce platform with Einstein, right? And I want let me just really make a simple contrast to that, right? Because I think Salesforce is going to have a challenge here, right? They're going to be competing for the same dollars as Microsoft, right? You're going to have a CIO sitting in there saying, okay, where do I want to put my money this year on generative AI, right? I can't spend it across all these platforms and get generative AI, but let me just do the back of the envelope case for the CIO and the Microsoft platform, assuming that Microsoft Copilot's coming out at $30 a user per month. Okay. If I sit here and say, I've got a really simple business, I got a $10 million business, I got 20 people that support my $10 million business. That's pretty robust, right? I mean, that's $500,000 per person. Let's drop it down. Let's say I got $300,000 per person that's being generated, and I got 20 people in my company, right? Really simple math. If Microsoft comes in and says, you know, I can save you 1%, right? 1% a year for $30. I would be flipping that around saying, you know what, I can generate 1% more revenue per person, right, per year, which means I'm going to generate $3,000 of additional revenue for that person. That Microsoft license is only going to cost me $720. That's going to give me a 5x return, 6x return, 7x return, right, on that investment. And it's real simple to think that way. If I can get a 1% kick in productivity for this investment, simple math, right? Is there simple math for Salesforce?
And that's the thing, right? And it's a great, you bring up a lot of great points, right? Those are definitely the pitches, right? Of course, it's always the belief that you will achieve that.
Right.
But the Salesforce side, honestly, I think they're going to be running that same math. I mean, look, Kylie mentioned it before. I run our Microsoft practice, so I'm very versed in the Copilot, right?
Right.
You and I have talked about this in a prior podcast. That math is definitely being run. I think the issue that Salesforce is going to come up against is if you think about what we're talking about. So if you have a salesperson who's, let's say they're running the math on that individual's productivity. Well, yes, you can somewhat track it from what's being used through Salesforce. But I would also argue, and I know this is going to be coming as a pushback. Well, those salespeople are also using, likely, Copilot for Microsoft 365 with their emails, Copilot for 365 with their Word documents that they're using at, you know, off channel, if you will. So it's an interesting exercise that they're going to have to run. What I would also tell you is they could probably run it from a add-on, the Einstein for services, like that add-on piece. It gets a little trickier when you start thinking about the bundled Einstein One approach, because it's like, okay, it's the value that you're getting, but there's so many other pieces in that bundle, like the CRM components and all the other stuff you're already paying for. So like, is that cost component appropriate as well?
Yeah, I think more to the point on that, Adam, too, it's a point of, I think for our clients, it's also a point of negotiation leverage, right? Because 100%. When Salesforce comes in and says, right, oh, here's the money that you're going to have to pay, here's the value associated with it, at least from my perspective, the CIO's leverage is going to be, I only have so many dollars to go around, right? I got Microsoft pitching me this. I got SAP pitching me this. I got ServiceNow pitching me this. I have to make a bet as to where I'm going to place my dollars, right? So therefore, right, you know, you've got to figure out a way to fit within the bucket of money that I have, because I'm not looking at just the value for you. I'm looking at the value across all platforms.
Yeah. And listen, just, I know we want to keep moving here, but this is a great, great point you're bringing up. I mean, I think it also was, I think Salesforce also knows this, right? They know that the dollars are going to be hard to obtain right away because one, Microsoft and others, but definitely Microsoft. And we're seeing this in the deals we're working and the interest in Copilot for Microsoft 365. If you think about it, one of the biggest things that they got a pushback from the market on recently when they announced their earnings was their forecasted revenue for this upcoming year. They actually said that their growth rate for FY25, which will end in January 2025, they actually have the growth rate around 8.6%. That's less than 10%, and that's a deceleration on growth. I think they're setting themselves up to be, okay, look, 2024, the year we're in, look, we're going to get wins. We're going to get tasting of it. But market, we gotta ride this out a little bit. We're almost wave two of expenditure from the CIOs, these C-suites, executives, and that's where we're going to capture it, which is more maybe next year, not this year.
We're going to take a quick break for a commercial, and we will be right back.
Discover UpperEdge, your number one unbiased advisor with a proven track record in advising over 1,000 transactions for top IT vendors such as SAP, Oracle, Workday, ServiceNow, Salesforce, and Microsoft. We deliver amazing results for our clients, averaging $2.5 billion in savings and a 32x return on investment. Take your IT sourcing and negotiation strategies to the next level. Visit upperedge.com to learn more.
So now that we've talked a little bit about, you know, the offering, why it's so important to Salesforce, the astronomical cost behind it, do you have any tips for how to approach Salesforce if there is interest on the customer side for adopting Einstein Copilot? And then sort of as a follow-up to that, you know, what should customers make sure they have covered in their contracts?
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And this is obviously from what we do at UpperEdge. This is a big part of the conversations I'm having. Look, I think the key thing is picking up off what we just talked about. There's definitely clearly interest right now. I think from what we're seeing, that interest is a possibility to happen soon. But ultimately, Salesforce is going to be spending their time, as you can imagine, aggressively trying to pull in your interest as customers. So if you actually are coming to them with interest, right, you actually, you know, whether it's in term or maybe you have a renewal coming up so you can sync it up, as you can probably imagine, there's a massive amount of leverage because likely your sales account executive, regional level, GM level, wherever you sit relationship-wise, they're having probably a hard time even getting people in the room to have the discussion. If you are coming to them with a genuine interest, if you apply it correctly, number one, there is absolutely that opportunity to get significant discounting, right? I already mentioned a $500 per user per month subscription price for the Enterprise One Edition, that's going to be a massive jump for you, right? Even if you went on the add-on route, that's a massive $75 per user per month. That's a massive acceleration. So I would lean on the number one, hey, I know you want and need this. I know that I paid attention to your earnings call. I see that you have less than 10% growth expected, which is deceleration. I know, and I heard Benioff say about 15 times on that earnings call, as well as Brian Milham, Chief Operating Officer, as well as Amy Weaver, CFO. I heard them all say how important it is to get adoption of AI, and I know how important it is to get data cloud, and I know how important data Tableau, and I know how important Slack is. And if I will give you all of that if we move to Einstein 1. So I would lean on that. Remind them what they've said. Remind them that you understand that if you make this move, you're also giving them a win. Forget the dollars. It allows Benioff and others to get up on the next earnings call and talk about, hey, look how great we're doing. Look at how many customers we closed last month, right? So if you're considering this, if you're they're really struggling and want, and I'm assuming this is going to be the case, more interest, leverage and lean on that. The other thing I would tell you, if you are doing this in term, and you have, say, a renewal date a year later, let's use an example, right? Make it simple. I would absolutely be using this point in time to make sure that you have the right overall deal in place, right? So approach Salesforce with the, hey, I know we're talking Einstein 1. I know we're talking maybe the add-on, all of which is very important to you. But I have a lot of other products that I already use with you, and I spend a lot of money with you on. I also have professional services. I have so many other things. So here's what we're going to do. I want to talk about Einstein. I want to talk about Einstein 1. I want to talk about what you need to do for me here. But I want to also talk to you about everything else, meaning I want to open it up, right? I want to open it up for consideration of improvement. Because if you can't improve those pieces, if you are planning on hitting me with a 15% increase on the other products I already have, I'm going to tell you right now, you can do that. But I'm shutting down the conversation on Einstein Copilot, because money has to come from somewhere. So think about how you want to approach this. Now, the other thing I would tell you from an approach perspective, right? Einstein 1 edition, as I've mentioned, is simply the most robust edition of what you likely already have, whether it's Sales or Service Cloud. I implore customers to go deep on the functionality that you've already been paying for that's, you know, being added onto. How are you using that? What features are you using? What features are you not using? Which features do you want to be using? Forget Einstein, all the things you're adding. Let's look at what I already have. Use this point in time to also get commitments and put in front of Salesforce air that you're paying for. We talk about the word interest. Let's say you're one of the customers that's interested now but cannot commit till later. Okay, fine. Lean on that. Leverage that, especially if you have a renewal coming up before you can even commit to Copilot, right? Talk about the fact that, look, we're in workshops. There's legitimate interest. Decision makers are showing up in these meetings. You're getting access to the VP level, the CIO, the line of business. I'm giving you all of this Salesforce. So you now have another decision to make. I know you want me to accelerate my adoption, including in a renewal. Great. We can't do it. We can't do it. We're interested. But here's what you can do for us. Treat us right for this renewal. And understand that how you treat us is going to do one of two things. Keep us interested in Copilot, say a year from now, or remove it from our level of interest. There's a lot of dollars tied to this, and we're giving it to other vendors, as John mentioned a minute ago. Last thing, if you do not spend time focusing on the future as part of these negotiations, if you don't approach Salesforce with an expectation of better pricing, but you better commit to price protections, you are doing yourselves a complete and your company a complete disservice. Because I'm telling you right now, once you taste, once you start using, they know that they can make up for it later if you don't get the right caps. And also, I would push them for things like investment dollars, commitments, right? Like, what can you do to make sure we unlock and use the actual value? Because I know we talk about, oh, productivity improvements, but someone's got to help you get to a place where it's actually being used. Because just because you subscribe to it doesn't mean you're using it. So Salesforce, what are you going to do to make that happen?
So let me add another potential leg for negotiations, Adam, on this.
Yep.
One of the things that we've talked about in past podcasts here is the expected benefits systems integrators and software providers are going to get from generative AI, right? And we've seen numbers as high as 20 to 30% savings as a result of generative AI in the creation of code, in the supporting of code, right? In all of the functions, you know, kind of in the back office and the increase of product. If you're so convinced, right, that your product is going to generate savings for me, right, then you should have bought the farm on the generative AI savings associated with your organization. And I would expect to see those savings pass through, right, to me in some fashion. So you shouldn't be coming to me with increases associated with the cost of those products. In fact, you should be coming with reductions associated with your, right, use of generative AI. And that's how convinced you are I'm going to get the same set of savings. Because if you can't come to me with those savings, then I'm suspect that I'm going to get them.
It's a great point and so spot on. And it's exactly right. I have I'm not in the business of like challenging these reports and these metrics and things like that. But I think if you don't, as the actual person who's going to be cutting the check, you're out of your mind. You should be challenging this. You should be putting everything that, John, you just said, you should be putting in front of and be including in part of your conversation. Let me understand this. We're going to get the benefit, and you're telling us we're going to get all these benefits and ROI, right? But what if I don't? That's the first question. What happens if I don't? Are you going to keep me locked into the product? Can I move back down to a more robust edition? Like, what are you going to do there, right? Number two, you're telling me you're using it as well. You're telling me within Salesforce, you're using Einstein Copilot, and all of your salespeople and all of your people are so much more productive. So let me understand this. That means your margins are probably going to be getting better. So like, how is that being passed on to me? And then number three, everything you just covered, John. Like, so if I would highly recommend, as you approach Salesforce, I would put those three towers in front of them and say, I'd like to walk through this even before we get to the next wave of discussions where you want to start.
Yeah. So as we think about that, like I said, this is we're looking at compounding discussions associated with generative AI. I had a really good discussion yesterday with one of our clients about, you know, indirect benefits of generative AI, meaning, you know, you don't have to buy a damn thing. Right. You're focused more on how are you going to get the pass through benefits of generative AI on your current supply base, and how are you going to see some of those benefits? This part of the negotiation, I think, tags into that.
Yeah.
So kind of to wrap it up then, as you think about what are we going to see from Salesforce.com or in the future then, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, next 6 months, what should we expect?
Yeah. So here's the thing. Number one, I mean, I've said it and everyone should already know this, right? It's going to be aggressive. Their approach is going to be aggressive. Hey, can we meet for coffee? But just understand what that means is let's meet for coffee and talk about Einstein Copilot, okay? Hey, can we meet for coffee? Oh, actually, Data Cloud, right? You're going to expect them to approach siloed, right? They're going to try to get buy-in from the people who own Tableau, the data side of things, right? Data Cloud, Slack. They're going to approach all angles. That's going to continue to happen just at an accelerated rate. But I know they want Einstein Copilot, right? And the add-on would certainly be a win for them. But if you just listen to the earnings calls, if you just attend, you know, some of their conferences or just pay attention, that's not really what they're going to do. They're going to be 100% focused on if you want to really get, if you, the C-suite, really want to get that benefit of Gen AI, you need to think of it differently. It's not just Copilot. It is Copilot attached to your solutions, Sales and Service Cloud, attached to a user interface that's easy to use, Slack, attached to the ability to analyze the data, Tableau, attached to foundationally the trusted data that you have within your company, i.e. Data Cloud. So where am I going with this? Einstein 1, Einstein 1, Einstein 1. You're going to see it ad nauseum. It is the most robust edition. It is costly, but you need all of those pieces if you want the expected benefits. That's what you should expect from them. You should expect them to continue to push this, yes, because they also know it's sticky. If they can get all of those products adopted, they can get you using even their Copilot piece. It gets sticky, which then they can accelerate their use. Obviously, it's going to drive revenue, right? We talked about the cost profiles. They're going to increase their ACV, right? So you can expect them heavily aggressive just for that point. There's the vendor lock-in component. The aggression that they're going to put in is because they also know the more products you use, the customer 360, the more you use, the tougher it is to leave Salesforce on any one of those pieces. And I'll leave you with this. Obviously, we're in discussions with customers of Salesforce, so we know what's going on. But all you have to do is you just have to go back to the earnings call. And I put a podcast out about this as well. Benioff said, we have a lot of work to do to sell our existing customers into our existing clouds into our customers. So he's acknowledging we have stuff we already still need to sell apart from these new things. We also need to upsell our existing customers and cross-sell them Data Cloud with Einstein 1 as the full platform. He basically said that. He also mentioned they just got back from their annual sales internal meeting. And he made it very clear. You must sell the full platform. You must sell Einstein One. So if you don't think that's coming down to you, and even if you're not interested, it's coming. It's coming. And what I would also tell you is this. I've done this long enough. If you don't arm yourself for your negotiations, even if you're not interested in any of this, you are doing yourself a disservice, because if you don't prep appropriately for this onslaught that's coming, you're going to see a very aggressive, angry, childlike behavior approach of, if you don't give me what I want, here's what I'm going to do to you, which is the stuff you are going to renew, we're going to hit you with massive increases. We're going to be disappointed in you, and we're going to make you feel pain, and we could maybe remove that pain if you give us what I want. Now, I know I'm being dramatic there, but I'm telling you, that is what's coming. It's very clear. And so if you don't spend the time properly approaching that, regardless if you're interested in Einstein Copilot or not, you are going to be in a massive world of hurt that you have to plan for.
So Adam, we've talked about the cloud and your data, right? Does Salesforce have a compelling response to this particular question? You know, one of the things I recently saw was Reddit, and there was some information out there on Reddit regarding they had licensed the data that's in Reddit for $60 million a year to Google in order to be able to have Google build their large language models. And in that kind of that information release about Reddit, it was identified that they actually have $200 million a year in revenue that they're generating just on licensing, right, the data in Reddit. And we've seen ServiceNow out there saying, this is your data. It's your gold. Nobody else owns your data. Does Salesforce have a response to that? I mean, there's a lot of good data inside of Salesforce. You know, how do I make sure that my data isn't ending up in the hands of my competitors?
Yeah, so it's a really good point. I mean, what I would tell you is I haven't been laser focused on looking for what they're saying about that, but I can tell you that in what I've seen, it's not as overtly being put out there, right? The confidence in that. What they're focused more on is, hey, the AI solution applying to data that's available in the public is not good. Your data, the AI, our solution that's going to be applied to the data within your ecosystem is going to be trusted and great. They've been more focused there, John, versus, hey, what may happen with your data that we can leverage for other customers?
Now, exactly.
And that's a great point. And what I would say, we talked about those three pillars a minute ago. The fourth pillar maybe is this point that you should put in front of Salesforce, this exact question. I appreciate and maybe can understand the value of what you're talking about. The customer 360, the data cloud attached to it, our data is then applied, that Copilot layers onto that. I get that. I can see that. But asking them this question, well, what about the other thousands of customers? Are they getting the benefit too? And what's the pass-through tied to that as well? Like, what's the pass-through? I would challenge them. I would put that in front of them to answer. And then, and secondarily, I would use it as leverage into that pass-through component too, because when they try to hit you with an uplift 2 years from now, whatever it may be, you can bring this discussion back up in front of them.
This is a great conversation. Thank you so much, Adam, for coming on the show and really parsing through all of this. I think there's a lot of really great info for our listeners. And I know we're in the works on some additional content as well. So we're definitely staying at the forefront of everything Einstein Copilot. We'll have a lot coming in the next several weeks. And as the year goes on, as we see what this turns into, especially with Dreamforce, like you alluded to. But yeah, thank you so much for being on the show.
Got it. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk with John and you as well, Kylie.
Thank you. And thank you, John. And thank you to the listeners for listening. We hope you found this very valuable.
Sourcing Enterprise AI is co-hosted by John Belden and Kylie Chisholm and produced by Mike Brown. The podcast is brought to you by UpperEdge, a leading IT sourcing, negotiation, and project execution advisory firm. Make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss a new episode. For more innovative IT sourcing and risk mitigation insights, subscribe to the Upper Edge newsletter and follow Upper Edge on social media at the links in our episode description. Thank you for listening.